So friends, we're starting our new message series on deeper devotion as we walk through the Lenten season together. And the first of ours is on Matthew, the fourth chapter, the first 11 verses, and we are discussing Jesus walking through the wilderness. And as we frame it, the first few verses help us understand sort of the meaning behind this text. We start off by him being led by the Spirit. And he's led into the wilderness into a time of trial, where he then faces evil itself, the very essence of temptation. Now we read over these things and say, yes, well and good. But I must ask you, who here has ever gone more than 24 hours without having a meal? Yes? Yeah? Was it sickness? Yes? What about 30-hour famine? Yes? Yes. We took some time. Yeah. How miserable was it after just 24 hours with no food? Has anyone ever gone 48 hours without food? Who? No? No? A week? 40 days. So just imagine how much more that would be. Can you imagine the misery that must be? I have to tell you, I don't know who else is here was like this, but when I first wake up in the morning, I am parched. I need a glass of water, and I need to eat pretty soon. The hunger starts, yes? Now, some aren't like that. Some of us can do a light breakfast, and then lunch comes around, and we're pretty hungry. So it sounds like most of us on a typical day will make it, what, 8-10 hours without eating at most? And then we get really hungry. So we're framing it here. Jesus has been in the wilderness and has been hungry for some 40 days and 40 nights. Misery. That is awful. That is tough. But what Jesus is doing here, and it's important to note, evil is trying to say to him, put God to the test. Jesus is saying, no, you're testing me. What I'm facing ahead is going to be far more difficult. Keep in mind, Jesus is all too aware of the challenge set before him. He knows what's coming. He knows it's going to be difficult, and it's going to escalate. Anyone else notice it went from food to trying to tempt him with all this stuff to even saying, hey, just worship me. It's escalating in temptation. So the importance here is to recognize the importance of being prepared. We're going to talk about preparation today and how devotions can help us be prepared for what may come. Has anyone lived their whole life and not ever had a troubling day? Anybody? I say we're going to be very jealous if you are. We've all had our challenges, yes? And I don't just mean challenges of like, oh, I forgot to fill my gas tank, I have to stop off at work first. Who here can think of really difficult days? These are days maybe we lost a loved one. These are days that we were laid off from work. These are days that maybe, just maybe, someone broke your heart. We can think back to some pretty big days. And these are coming to mind as I say them, yes? We all have something in mind. How did we navigate that day? What informed us as we went through that day? Did we have past experiences to pull from? Did we have a friend to talk to? Did we talk to a pastor? Did we go to a counselor? How did we get through that day? Jesus recognizes he has tough days ahead. He has tough days ahead because of what he's going to do. He's going to follow God. Now imagine that. A follower of God being tempted by evil. Anyone else ever experienced this? Yeah? It almost seems like the closer you follow God, the more trouble seems to crop up. Yes? Anyone else? Why is that? He recognizes that it's going to get even worse than this. Someday he's going to be dragging a very heavy cross while they throw insults and spit at him and ultimately kill him. It's not going to get easier. So he leads himself there into the wilderness. The Spirit leads him there. And he is hungry for a long time. And he knows all well and good that this and this temptation, this troubling time, is going to invite the whispering. Now, cartoonists and such have depicted this in the past. They show two little guys on either side of your shoulders, yes? They talk into your ear. Well, maybe just do this. The other says, I don't know. You feel that pull, yes? The back and forth. It overcharacterizes something that we've all felt, that pull, that tension between what ought to be versus what is, and we're here in the middle of it. Between the kingdom to come and yet where we are today. God's text says that the kingdom has come but is also not fully realized yet. We are in this middle space between Jesus' resurrection and Jesus coming again. We are in a tense time, amen? You've all felt it. So when he says to him, and I'm paraphrasing, hey, listen, you're hungry, yes? It's within your power to turn these stones into food. Why don't you just feed yourself? Jesus points out something that is instructive to all of us. We can't just survive. It's not enough just to have our food. If we got up in the morning and all we did was, well, let's get a little food in us, is our day done? No. We are fueled to do the rest of the day, yes? Unless we eat junk food and we're not so fueled. Whew, yeah? We fuel ourselves, we prep ourselves, and we go through routines to get ready for the day ahead. Maybe it's the shower, maybe it's reading your word. We go through our routines to be ready. So when he's talking about this, he's saying in so many words, something instructive to us is not just that we're maintaining our lives, we're seeking ways that we can enrich our life with God. Diving into his word, engaging in a prayer life, connecting in small groups, calling each other, caring for each other, finding different ways that we show our devotion, our faithfulness, our love, to be ready for the test ahead. Because we know trials will come. And Jesus knows trials will come. And we know this too, yes? Just this past week, as I was here in the office, I was leaving for the day, and the truck wouldn't start. Yay, yes? It's always something. Well, the battery was dead. But my dad had taught me to be prepared, so of course, I have my jumper cables, yes? Started the engine. I knew enough not to turn it off. Drove it down the hill, put a battery in it. Ooh, that was expensive. But I also put aside money, so I was ready. I knew. Not if, but when, yes? And it always happens when it's coldest, yes? Oh, that's awful. So Jesus' first instruction for us is don't just maintain the life, but make sure you enrich and be ready. Expect for these things to come, because there will be days without food. So yes, he is correct that he could make food, but that's not the point. Jesus is also testing his resolve and saying, yes, I am committed to this. I'm not going to just give in, because this mission's too important. No one else can carry the cross before me. I have to be the one. They can't get through this gate on their own. I have to do this so that they can follow my example. Amen? So evil does what it always does. It says, okay, let's push it further. It doesn't always get easier, does it? Yeah? We go through these dark nights of the soul, and one of the common things you'll hear is someone say, don't worry, it gets easier. Did it? It took a little time, yes? It was tough. Again, go back to that space when whether it was losing a loved one or losing your job, it just kind of piles on for a little while, doesn't it? It gets harder for a little bit. So evil piles on here as well. He takes him to the holy city, has him stand on the highest point of the temple, and says something that is sort of kind of true. This is how evil works. It takes a grain of truth and then expands it into a lie, yes? He says, well, throw yourself off, and the angels are worried about you. They'll sweep down, they'll make sure you don't get hurt. And Jesus said, actually, if I may paraphrase, he says, if you had read your word, you would know, it says, don't put your Lord your God to the test. In other words, our canon, our testament of Scripture, is one long, awesome testimony that reveals to us that God is righteous, God is good, God is consistent, God is faithful, and we're the ones that have always been unfaithful, yes? We're the ones that struggle and fail and always end up testing God. So this is a season of preparation, an opportunity to prepare, because there are going to be tests ahead, amen? They come up, they happen. Because the reality is that there will be times in our life when we are tested, when we're not necessarily ready, when we can get ourselves so far and then wind up in a bit of trouble. My beloved brother I called this week, we caught up, chatted for a good hour, and we began to reminisce about some of the past and some of the stories, and something came to mind for me. I remembered one time my brother climbing a tree. He was always a good tree climber. He was the guy that we were shooting basketball hoops outside. He would climb the basketball hoop and catch it and then throw it in for you. He was always the climber. Well, there was one particular tree on our property that was quite tall, and he climbed almost about 40 feet in the air one day. He was quite good at this. And so he was hanging out in this tree, and we were playing outside when Mom came out. How do you think Mom reacted? Yeah, not well. Panic doesn't really quite capture it. I'm not sure what word would, but panic's the closest word. She freaked out. She was terrified because, and I think rightfully so, if you fall from that, it's not going to be good, yes? So mortified, she called for help. Who do you think she called? Dad. Called my dad, panicked. Now, Dad lived pretty close by, so he ran there and got there. And when he parked the truck, he got out, stood under the tree, and he very calmly said, "Trey, climb down." And my brother did. He got down. It was okay. And he had a little talk to him, and in so many words, he said, "Don't do that." He was just... I get you're having fun, but it worries Mom to death. Don't do that. In other words, you don't need to put yourself in danger and test yourself like that. There's no need. So if it's theoretically possible to jump off a bridge and dive into the water, you could, yes? Are you gonna? But yet, this is more obvious. There's less obvious things we face every day. We want to test God. This is where we go back to the people on our shoulders, yes? And it's usually some sort of turn of phrase of, well, would it be right if I did, yeah? Is it appropriate if I, we come up with these tests, these little things. Is this right, just, We get into some of the murkiness. That's usually our red flag to think more on it. We're in a tough spot. And we have this every day of our lives. We have challenges, we have tests, and honestly, most of them are typically not so big. They're not 40 feet in the air, yes? They're sometimes minor things. Merging in a lane, I didn't use my turn signal. That's no biggie. Big and small, we face them every day. So the challenge is for us is to identify, well, how is God going to have us move in these spaces, and especially for these big days? Jesus wasn't just doing this for the bread alone. He knew the bigger challenges were coming. Verse 8, the devil had taken him to a high mountain, you know, showed him all this splendor, all these kingdoms. And he says, "Look at all this. I'll give this all to you if you bow down to me." Now, first of all, is this his to give away? No. And yet, isn't it the case that we get promised all sorts of things all the time? Yeah? We get sold things, stuff, places to go, vacation trips, lots of things, right? And these things aren't inherently right or wrong per se. It becomes sort of murky. Is it a right and good thing for us to go on vacation? I suppose so, yeah. You see how conflicted this gets, how murky it gets? To then know whether we are acting righteously and acting on God's path, it is hard. So what Jesus is reminding us here is that if you need the guide, if you need to help understand so that the little guy on this side wins and then the other guy on the other shoulder doesn't, keep diving into God's word. Because this gets complicated very quickly. So being able to go through these tests means being able to have that voice honed, to know right from wrong better, to be able to lean on God better. This means devotions. This means reading your word. This means having a prayer life, again, connecting with groups, don't forgetting who you belong to, and not just family, amen, your God's. Easier said than done, yes? So setting time for these practices, because the reality is that God has built us in God's image. And Jesus also finds that Jesus is prepared here. Jesus has power, ministry, and a life that God has bestowed. He is equipped to serve. So consider in this Lenten season how God has equipped you to serve. How are you equipped to serve this Lenten season? How might you be better equipped to serve? What growing edges might you have you'd like to work on? That's the first challenge of Lent, is what can I pick up to be better equipped to serve? Maybe it's I'm a fairly outgoing social person. Well, maybe I can kind of practice how I can, in my conversations, sort of live my faith out loud. Maybe just kind of share in passing, how was your weekend? Good, I went to church, da-da-da. Maybe it's another practice. Maybe you're really good at baking. And you think, you know, I know some people that are upset this week or hurt. I'm going to make them something and bring it over. Whatever that gift is for you, finding ways to use it to help build God's kingdom. Maybe it's I don't read my Bible that often. Anybody? We always feel like we can read it more, yes? We feel like, man, well, I do it every other day, but maybe I should do it every day. Maybe I do it once a day. Maybe I should do it twice a day. We always feel like it's not enough, yes? So maybe it's building up that practice. Or maybe it's praying regularly. Maybe it's changing how we pray. Whatever that is for you, take time to identify that. Make a commitment to just grow in that. It's the Holy Ghost, don't worry. Just take that time and be ready for it because, you know, tests come up. Anyone ever have an instructor they love to do pop quizzes? Did you love those people? Oh, they were a treat, yes? Anybody here ever give a pop quiz? Yeah. I was always told by my instructors, do your reading, it's important. I have to tell you, boy, is it ever. I get tests every week. People come to me, Pastor, I'm facing blank, help me. I can only address that if I have also done the time to prepare as well, to face that ahead of time, retroactively, to be ready. Otherwise, I'm playing catch-up, and I feel myself running. Anyone else feel like they're run out during the week? May I suggest to you we need to take time to breathe and be ready? You ever try to start your car and you forgot to put gas in it? Devotions is filling your tank. This is your season to fill up, to be renewed, to come to the table, to get the bread and wine, to be ready to go again. This is what Jesus is doing. He's going there. He's saying, I'm going to be ready. And he wants to test that and show to the world has nothing to offer me, but I'm offering everything to the world. Amen. You are equipped to serve. And truth be told, we don't always know what our growing edges are. It is true that you'll prepare, and sometimes you'll be surprised. I was surprised this past week. Anyone, can you guess how? Hint, it's on my face. For the last 2 years, I've been doing some rather peculiar things, and it hadn't occurred to me that I should probably get my eyes checked. Things like I had bought new headlights for my truck that were the ultra brights. You know the obnoxious one? Yeah, I bought those. Because I thought, I can't see far enough down the road, and my lights are too dim. No, I was a dim one. Or I'd start reading things and think, huh, it's a little blurry, but that's okay because they didn't print it. I started like not realizing, buying new smartphones and stuff, trying to adapt for it, and then finally realizing, wow, I need to get my eyes checked. I said that to my wife and she chuckled. She said, yeah, when was the last time? And I thought, oh boy, maybe 15 years? It's been a long time. I went into this sure. The last time I went in, I was told I have 20/20 perfect vision. I thought, oh, I'm good. I went in, they did the first test, they did the air in your eye thing. This is how far along I've been, right? I don't even know what it's called. They do these tests, they open the book, you look, okay, I'm good, I'm acing it, I'm good. Then she says, stand up and on that dot and then look at the chart. And I thought, oh, I can read down to the bottom, I'm fine. And then she said, close one eye. Oh, no. I did that, and I thought, I can't read that first. And I said, okay. She said, what to say? I said, L? She said, try the line above it. E? She said, try a line above that. I said, oh, I need glasses, don't I? She smiled and said, yes, you do. Sometimes it surprises you. Tests come, yeah? Life goes on. So believe me, I'm preaching to myself this morning as well. We all have to get preparation because tests come. And one more thing to add to this, don't do it alone. My wife and I both got our eyes checked. Both her prescriptions were updated. We did it together. Sometimes the temptation comes that we'll kind of do this alone, and it may happen in Lenten season as well. So when you make that commitment, share with one other person what your commitment is. And again, it's not to brag, but it is to have some accountability and say, hey, here's what I'm trying to do. What are you doing this Lenten season? Maybe that's your spouse, maybe that's a friend, but whoever it is, oftentimes our goals fail when we have no one to check in with. Yes? Anyone else? So check in regularly. Now let's move on to one final thing. There are some things that we can't change. Anyone still struggle with that this morning? Boy, there's some things we wish we could change, yes? The economy's not doing well, yes? We're hearing fears of viruses going around. There's some things we can't change, and that is difficult to face. But I have to tell you, this last verse, though, I can't help but laugh at this and kind of smile a little bit. The last verse, verse 11, says, then the devil left him. Read that again. Then Satan left him. Who here has ever felt that on a given day? Evil leaves and angels have come. Does anyone have an awesome day like that? I want that every day, yes? How do we get to that place? We get to that place when evil no longer has power over you. Jesus was able to respond to all these temptations. You know how he's responding? Look very carefully, because again, we miss this so easily. Verse 10, away from me, Satan, for it is written. Look back further. Verse 7, Jesus answered him, it is also written. Ah, we're seeing a theme. Do you want to guess what he said before that in verse 4? It is written. He prepared himself before ever going into the wilderness. So friends, my challenge to you is simple. Set time to be prepared. Take time to fill the tank. Take time to be holy and to be ready. The tests will come. One day you will have one of your eyes shut and you will fail the test. Some things are out of your power, some things are. That doesn't mean you shouldn't prepare, amen? So do the best you can, prepare as well as you can, because they will come. But evil will retreat when it holds no power over you. And how does it not have power over you? When God has power over you. Did you catch it? Evil cannot have power over you when someone else is in that seat and they have power over you. When you're empowered by God, that is one less place that evil has power over you. Amen? This happens through your prayer life. This happens through your devotions, your connections with each other. That God has more power in your life, that means evil has less. And as we see with Jesus, it doesn't mean that it gets easier. Sometimes it gets harder. And yet, did he not persist? And yet, did he not carry the cross? And yet, did he not die? And even death didn't keep him. So again, my challenge is simple. Take a moment, whether it's increasing your devotional time, increasing your prayer life, whatever it is, commit to that. And secondly, identify one thing you have no control over it and practice giving it to God. Maybe it's your current life situation. Maybe it's you don't have enough of an income and that's frustrating. Whatever that is for you that you feel you don't have power over it, instead acknowledge that God is so much bigger than that. Amen? God is bigger than all of this. God has it all. And it does the soul good to remember that. So take time this Lenten season. Remember that God is good and all-powerful. Remember that you have some power and take time to prepare. And take a deep breath. More tests are coming. But you got this. Let's pray. Father God, we know that there will be tests ahead. We know there will be trials and temptations. God, we also know that you are bigger than all of this. We know that you will persist far greater than any evil. We know that your kingdom will still be built. So to that end, help us be builders as well. Help us prepare alongside you. Equip us, God, to do all the good we can in all the places we can. And to those places we cannot, help us look to you. And remember that even there, you are in control. So help us to take on a season in which we can let go and lift you up, a season to prepare and be ready. So God, today, fill our hearts, fill our tanks. Help us to not live by bread alone, but to receive your word, to bring you alone worship and glory, so that we hear you, serve you, and love one another. In your blessed name we pray. And if this is your prayer for the Lenten season, would you share in saying amen? Amen, friends.